Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Sometimes I climb so far, only to backslide. Lord, I may be sliding back, but I will not abandon you.
Thank you, worship team. Wonderful, very anointed worship. Let's give hand to the worship team. Amen. Do you appreciate them? They work so hard for all of us. Every Sunday, we have been blessed by the worship team in our church. I'd like to read a few scripture, and I'd like you to confess with me. I believe in confession, confessing the word of God for our own life. And we will see that happen. We want to see the will of God happen in our life. Amen. The book of John chapter 4, verse 34, the Bible said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Luke 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." In John chapter 17, verse 18, the Bible say, "And you," mean the Father, "sent me," mean Jesus. The Father sent Jesus into the world. "I also have sent them," mean us, "into the world." Let's stand up and confess with me. The Lord Jesus, sent me into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. My food is to do the will of my Father and to finish it. I am anointed to be sent out to preach the gospel to the poor, preach the gospel to the hurting. When I say in Jesus' name, miracles shall happen. I am a servant of the living God. I am his ambassador. In Jesus' name, that is I am. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that they will be healthy, they will be strong, they will be full of the Holy Ghost, they will know the word of God, they will be full of faith and joy and peace and hope. Father, the revelation of God will come to their life, Lord, and they will never be the same, Father, from today on. They will be used by you to preach the gospel. Many souls will come into the kingdom of God because of them, because they will, Lord, shake the world for this generation. They were born for such a time as this, Lord. In Jesus' name, I bless them indeed. Put your hand upon them. Lord, your presence will be in their home and everywhere they go, in Jesus' name. And everyone say, amen. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. You can be seated. Amen. Lately, the Lord has spoken to me almost every day that what is his desire for our church. He has a desire for our church. And he spoke to me that he wants to see our church to be a glorious church. What Paul say in the Bible, that he wants to cleanse his church with the word. And he want his church to be a glorious church without blemish, without wrinkles, without stain. So in my dream, I see that this church is full of on fire people, filled with the Holy Ghost. People who are not carnal, people who are not mental, mean led by the mental capacity, but people who are led by the Holy Spirit, who are spiritual people, not carnality, not people in carnality. I pray, I see the vision that we all will be fall in love with Jesus. We could go banana for Jesus. And people will love Jesus. And the Bible also talking about growing from glory to glory and glory. That every member of this church will set the goal to grow from glory to glory to glory. Amen. Until the Christ, the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, that everyone gonna become like Christ. You're gonna be so holy. You're gonna be pure and righteous. You will be used of God. You shall be full of anointing. You shall shake the world everywhere you go. Demon have to run to the garbage can. Everywhere you go, gonna bring change to that city, to that world. You will be anointed. Your children will serve God better than you. Amen. Our church gonna be the church in the book of Acts. People just on fire. Love to pray. Love the word of God. Love the move of God. Amen. That's the church that God has dreamed of in this city. That is the church that God wants to see in this city. That is our goal in this church. Amen. We are not going to be a lukewarm church. We are not going to be the church that fall away from the first love of Jesus Christ. We're going to be the church that just fall in love with Jesus with all our heart. Amen. I remember when I got saved from Buddhism into Christianity. One thing that I make a decision in my heart is that I want to know everything God says in the Bible. I want to understand the whole truth in the Bible. I want God to teach me every aspect of the Bible. And not only that, I want to experience everything that God says in the Bible. And also, I want to really practice everything that God says in the Bible. God, teach me. God, I'm hungry. I want to learn more. Amen. If you read the Bible, you can notice that the disciple have this kind of mentality. Or the early church has this mentality. God, I want to understand more. Teach me. They are not the type of Christian that come to church and say, I just want to hear the message that I like to hear. They don't come to church and say, I can just want to hear the message that will suit my ear. But anything in the Bible, I want to know. Therefore, today, I have the message for you that I believe that is good for you whether you know it or not. Amen. So, I believe that if you really grab a hold of this message and change, your life will never be the same. You know, my goal is not to make you comfortable. My goal is not to make you feel happy. My goal is to make you grow. My goal is to make you strong, Christian. My goal is to make you world changer. My goal is to send you out to reach out to the lost world, and you shall go and seek and save the lost and make disciple. The goal is not to make you just happy and just become a consumer, but we want you to be strong Christian. Amen. Hallelujah. How many people want to grow? Raise your hand up. How many people take the business of God seriously? Amen. Hallelujah. And if you are not born again Christian today, if you are not born again, I want to let you know that Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you. If you not know Christ, I'd like to encourage you to come into the kingdom of God. Actually, when I worshiped a while ago, I was thinking about what God has done for me, that God died for me, Jesus died for me, and He saved me and my wife. Our life is so full of blessing and glory. I want the whole world to know about Jesus Christ, and I want you to know about Jesus Christ as well. I want you to come in and have a personal relationship with Jesus. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Today, I would like to talk to you about honoring again. I believe that this message is given to this church for this year. About honoring. And if we understand about honoring God, He is the honorable God. And if we know how to honor God, definitely God will honor us. How many people want God to honor you? Oh, if God honors you, people will see it. People will notice it. People will have a big eyes and, wow, why this guy, why this girl, why this lady is so different from me, from us here. And they see it, they notice it. And they will eventually find out that because the God Almighty, because the El Shaddai, because the God who created the heavens and the earth really honor you. The honor of God shall be upon you because you honor Him first. I want the honor of God to just follow me around everywhere. Amen. When I walk into the hospital, people will see the honor of God in me. They will say, wow, instead of going to see that doctor, go to see Dr. Lau better. I have this all the time. People went to see other doctors, and eventually, because the honor of God draw them, they come to see me and they want to be operated by me. So I get some more income. I'm such kidding. But I need income anyway to pay my bill. Okay, so God, you know, God sent people to me, and when they walk into my office, they see me, they see the honor of God upon my life. They say, okay, I change the doctor now, I come to you better. Because the honor of God, the anointing draw people into your life. So we need to live a life of honoring God. And the Bible say that we need to honor the presence of God. We need to honor the anointing. What the word anointing mean the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit present in your life and manifests himself, we call the anointing. And the Bible said that we all have that anointing. We have different measure and we have different kinds of anointing. But we all are anointed. In 1 John chapter 2 verse 20, the Bible says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. Everyone say, I am anointed. Turn to each other and say, you are anointed. Amen. Because we have the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I want to tell you one thing. You know, I noticed that a lot of Christians have, I mentioned to Pastor Da yesterday, I noticed that Christians in the world are interested in different things. Some people are interested in the end time. They want to build a bunker for the end time persecution so that they have food to eat. I mean, nothing wrong about that. Some people are interested in study about the culture and the tradition of the Jews. Nothing wrong about that. And I appreciate they study and they teach me. I read that book. But I told Pastor Da, I don't know why. For me, I'm interested in the presence of God. I'm interested in the anointing. I'm interested in the person. Everyone say, person. That person is the Holy Spirit. I'm interested in having an intimate fellowship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit give me the anointing or the power. And everything, I want to say this, everything that the Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, want you to have, want you to get, and want to give you to have victory in your life, comes through the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important that we know the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important to be hungry for the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to know that He's a person. And I want the person. I don't want the tradition. I don't want just to have an Ark of the Covenant, like somebody make a box like an Ark of Covenant and carry into this room. I don't care about that box. I want the person. I want the person, the presence of the Holy Spirit. That is the Old Testament. Now we are in the New Testament. Amen. And if we want the Holy Spirit to work strongly in our life or through our life, one thing we need to do is to honor Him. We need to honor the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need to honor the anointing in people's life. Today, I'm going to show you some story in the Bible. God gave you all this story in the Bible to teach us something. And I believe that God never changes. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The way He thought many thousand years ago with the children of Israel, He still thinks the same way today. He is a God who never changed in His thinking, in His ways, in His idea. Whatever we learn in the Old Testament, we understand that it is applied to us today regarding the anointing. Amen. Everyone say, the anointing brings healing, salvation, deliverance, joy, peace, strength, wisdom, revelation, faith, hope, understanding, insight, power. Amen. That's why we need to honor the anointing. Amen. I'm going to show you a few stories in the Bible. I will not be able to finish everything today, but I'm going to show you a few stories. The first story is about the children of Israel in the wilderness. In Leviticus chapter 9, verse 24, I'm going to teach you the word of God today. And fire came out from before the Lord. This morning I got up and prayed. God, maybe we should have the same experience like in the time of Moses, that the fire came into this room and then burned that drum or piano. Which one is better? Oh no, I'm kidding. Okay. The fire came down into this room like at that time. That is a tangible fire. The real fire of God came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. The psalmist who wrote the book of Psalms said that, I am trembling in the presence of God. In other words, in this flesh, in this human natural body, you cannot stand before the presence of God very well. When the presence of God show up, your body gonna react because He's so full of power, He's so full of glory, Amen. I have experienced that when I walk close to somebody who is so anointed, my body starts to shake. I'm serious. I start to feel something because my body in this flesh, you start to tremble in the presence of God. And that's why when we go to heaven, we need a new body. We need a, we call glorious body. The body that can handle the tangible presence of the Father. Right now, your eyes cannot see the Father. Because if you look at the Father right now, you're going to be blind. Even stronger than the Son. His glory is so strong. You need a new body to be up in heaven. Amen. So these children of Israel, when the fire of God came down, their body was so trembled, they just lost strength and they just fell on the ground face down. If you look in the Bible, the people in the Bible always fall down, always tremble, always kneel down and bow down. If you don't want to fall down, that's okay, but at least bow down and fall down in your heart. Amen. You need to honor the presence of God. These people not only come into the presence of God and fell down, but they honor the presence of God. The fire of God came down. It's awesome that one day the presence of God is so thick here that everyone knows will be on the carpet and say, you are the Lord my God. I have that experience one time in Hong Kong and in Thailand. The presence of God was so thick in that room that I just lost my strength and I hang on to the microphone stand and I was on the floor. I lost all of my strength and my nose was on the carpet and they said, you are the Lord my God and I love you, Jesus. You're so powerful. I cannot resist you. I cannot stand against you. You are such a powerful God. That happened to me many times when the presence of God was so strong. In Leviticus chapter 9, we can see that the children of Israel really experienced the anointing or the tangible presence of God. Look at what happened in Leviticus chapter 10 verse 1. Then Nadab and Abihu, they were the children of Aaron. They were anointed. They were appointed to be the priests at that time to do the work of the priest, the ministry. The sons of Aaron each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offer profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. After the fire came down in Leviticus chapter 9, these two young men walk in and have their own censer. And they put their own fire in there. And the Bible says that God did not tell them to do it. The Bible says Moses was not commanded to tell them to do that. This is their own idea. This is their own idea that they're going to walk around with a censer and with a fire. The Bible in NIV used the word unauthorized fire in that censer. Let me read from NIV. Leviticus chapter 10 verses 1 to 3. I'm going to read the whole story here. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them and added incense. And they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. So fire, that's a real fire now. The first fire is their own human, fleshly production fire. Everyone say, human reproduction. But the other one, in verse 2, is the fire that come from heaven. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. God takes serious about honor of God here. About honoring the anointing. Moses then said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke of when he said, among those who approach me. Are you approaching God right now in this room? Yes, we come to church, we approach God. I will show myself holy. When I study the book of Exodus and Leviticus about the life of Moses, every time God speak to the children of Israel about holy, he say always, when I show myself, when I show up, I want to show my holiness. And the word holiness means more than just being pure. It means he is so unique. He's not other gods. We need to reverence him. We need to honor him. We need to really respect him. He's so perfect. He's so holy. He's so powerful. He's not like other gods. And when we come to him and approach him, he wants to show that he is holy. Which means we need to honor him. Amen. Among those who approach me, I will show myself holy in the sight of all the people. And I will be honored. Everyone say honored. Aaron remained silent. In other words, the dad didn't argue. His two sons died. What happened here? What is about this story that God tried to teach us about honoring the anointing? When God did something at certain time, it doesn't mean that he's going to do it again and again the same way tomorrow or the next day. Amen. One time around, I believe, 7 years or 6 years ago, I was standing here at the end of revival service. And I already crossed in prayer. I say, okay, we're done. We're going to go home. Suddenly, I saw the bright light come from heaven. It's like a lightning came down from heaven and hit my head. And I was thrown toward that chair, about 2 feet. And I fell under the power and I could not get up, could not drive home. I was so drunk and no one lay hand on me. No one touched me. I was touched by the power of God. Will that happen again? Maybe or maybe not. God did that one time, but should I do it again today and act like this? If I did that, I despise the anointing of God. This is what happened in humanity. When God, by the anointing, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he was doing something miraculously or powerfully, somebody gonna stand up, rise up and say, I'm gonna get that glory. I'm gonna get that glory. God worked through me. Okay? I am the one, God gonna work through me. This happened to these two young guys, these two young priests. They've got the censer, they put their own fire and walk around and say, you know, the fire come through me. That fire in Leviticus chapter 9, now I have the fire too, but this is human reproduction, human duplication, fire. We should not try to use our fleshly human ability to reproduce something that God was doing. If you have the word of knowledge, you have it. If you don't have it, don't have it. Don't squeeze out the word of knowledge out of your fleshly human reproduction. Period. Amen. I'm not trying to be Billy Graham. If I try to make a crusade like Billy Graham in America, I try to produce Billy Graham. His anointing is not my anointing. So I cannot try to be somebody else and try to reproduce something. I remember when I first got into the issue of the fire of God, I promised God one thing. I say, when I lay hand on anybody, I'm not going to push anybody. Because if they fall because of God, not because of me. If they're going to shake, they shake because of God, not because of me. I'm not going to use my fleshly ability to produce something that God was doing with somebody. If they don't fall, that's fine with me. As long as they come out by faith to receive from God, God going to change them. Amen. Amen. But we are not going to reproduce something out of human ability. That is not good. And God considered that as despising the anointing of God. These two young guys jump up and say, now I get the glory. I have the fire too. Don't do that. You need to find out what anointing you have. You need to find out what God is using you. Don't try to be somebody else. And don't try to reproduce the thing that other people are doing. I remember when I was a young minister a long time ago, I traveled to different churches. I traveled to Oklahoma and California, to Orlando, look at all these churches, try to learn. And I come back home and I try to do the same thing they did. I try to, oh, they have this school, I do this school. They have this function, I'm going to do this function in the church, in this ministry. And after a while, I find out that I was not anointed to do those things. And thank God that God didn't kill me yet. God is so merciful to me. I try to imitate somebody else's anointing by my own flesh. I need to find out who I am and what God anointed me to do. And I flow and walking in that anointing. The same thing with you. You need to find out what anointing you have and flow in that anointing. Don't try to be somebody else. And don't try to reproduce it. If God one day give you, one day you walk around in this church and suddenly God give you the word of knowledge or word of wisdom. God said, go to tell that person this. And you walk in and, oh, powerfully you give the word of wisdom, word of knowledge. And that person like shaking and, oh, like the anointing just all over and God heal or something. And you say, wow, this is good. And maybe some of your friends see it. Oh, I'm going to do the same thing next Sunday. Next Sunday and walk in. God didn't give you the word. God didn't do anything with you. You just walk around finding the word for somebody. Hey, brother, I have the word for you. And it's not from God. It's from your pizza inside here you eat last night. Because you ate pizza last night and pizza come out from your mouth. It didn't come out from God. No, don't produce something. It's not from God because that you despise the anointing of God that way. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at another story. The similar kind of story. Look at Numbers chapter 20 verses 1 to 13. In the first month, the whole Israelite, we're going to look to the Old Testament right now, community arrived at the desert of Zin, and they stay at Kadesh. There Miriam died and was buried. Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. You know, every time I read about story of Moses and Aaron, I think they might have lost a lot of hairs. If they have Prozac, they may take some Prozac. Can you imagine a few million members give them a hard time all the time? I thank God that I have good members here. I'm not in Moses' generation. I am in the Joshua generation. Because the member of this church never give me a hard time. They always like me. They always support me. Never give me a hard time. I can sleep well every night. I don't need Prozac and amitriptyline. But these two guys, poor guy, Moses and Aaron, the Bible say, their member give them a hard time. Okay? They quarrel with Moses. Can you imagine? Moses took them out and they come and point the finger to Moses and yell at him. Quarrel with Moses and said, if only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this desert? That we and our livestock should die here. Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? Oh, I feel bad for them. It has no grain of figs, grapevines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink. They complained. They attack the pastor. People dare not attack God, but they attack the pastor first. Moses, hallelujah. Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting and fell face down. Moses, instead of arguing with them, he went to the Lord and present his concern to the Lord. He was a man of prayer. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, take the staff, you and your brother Aaron, gather the assembly together, speak, everyone say speak. Speak to that rock before their eyes and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so they and their livestock can drink. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, listen carefully. Listen to what he said. Listen, you rebels. Must we, everyone say we, bring you water out of this rock? Then Moses raised his arm, struck the rock twice. Boom, boom. Did he speak? No. What did he do? He struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out. God still honor him, huh? Even though he didn't obey God. God honored him by letting the water gush out. And the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me. Listen carefully. Because you did not trust in me. Everyone say trust. Enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites. You will not bring this community into the land I give them. In other words, Moses is going to die in the desert, in the wilderness, never enter the promised land. Wow, what a punishment. Scary. These were the waters of Meribah, where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord. You notice that the Israelites quarreled with Moses, but God considered quarrel with the pastor equal to quarrel with God. And where he showed himself holy among them. Everyone say, show himself holy. When I read this scripture, we learn so many things. We learn so many things about the relationship with God. Number one, again and again, God said that I want to show myself holy. In our midst, in the church, God wants to show himself and show himself holy. God wants to show himself that he is not like other gods. He is powerful. He is pure. He is amazing God. He's a good God. He wants to show himself to us. And we should be ready to receive that. Not only that, in order to show himself holy, he need to use a vessel. Is that right? Sometimes the Holy Spirit show himself, but sometimes he show himself through a vessel. He want to show himself holy through Moses. And the Lord used the word trust. Trust. So, I want to talk to all the servant of God in this room. God want to show himself holy through you. And he's going to tell you to do something. He's going to test whether you trust him enough to obey what he says to you. He say something. Do you trust enough? And do you obey? If you obey, you honor him and you show his holiness to the congregation. Let me repeat one more time. God speak to you and me. If you trust God, a lot of people misunderstand the word faith and trust. The word faith or belief is totally connected to the word obedience. True faith, true belief will produce obedience. You do what God say. Amen. Some of you say, you know, I believe in God, but God never bless me. But maybe the word belief in you, it just only believe in your heart, but you never produce action or belief. You need to produce action or belief. God expected Moses to trust and believe and then follow by obedience to speak to the rock. And if he did that, God will be honored. Everyone say with me. God speak to me. By the Holy Spirit. And by his word. I make a decision to trust him. And obey. Do what he says. Then I will show that God is holy. But this was not happening here. You notice a while ago in Leviticus chapter 10, Moses told Aaron that, do you know that in front of all the assembly, God wants to show himself holy? We need to obey him. We cannot touch his anointing like that. But later on, Moses did it himself. Listen carefully. Moses knew the truth that he should not play game with God. He should obey God. He should not do anything stupid like that. He knew, but he didn't do it. So what I try to come to you this morning is that even though you know the word of God, it doesn't mean that you're gonna do what is right. The knowledge of the word is not enough. You need to have a relationship with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. Just knowing the word of God. Some people have a big head knowledge about the Bible everywhere. They can quote the scripture, quote. They know everything in the Bible, but they don't do anything with it. But why? Because they don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you really have the relationship with the Spirit of the living God inside you, the Spirit of Jesus, you will walk in obedience every day because you love him, you fear him, you just want to please him, you want to honor him. That's why I keep saying like this on the pulpit so many times. It's not enough just to know the word. You need to have relationship with God, with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Moses blew it. Moses knew the fact, knew the truth. Why he blew it? The Bible says in Psalm chapter 106 verse 33. For they rebelled against the Spirit of God. Rash words came from Moses' lips. In other words, Moses was mad. These people challenge him. These people really, you know, quarrel with him. He was mad. I want to encourage you. If you are mad at something, and we are human, we have the flesh. Sometimes we get mad. I get mad sometimes too. When you get mad, walk away for a minute. Pray and spend time with God. Read the Bible. Don't have a rash word from your mouth. Amen. When I get mad at my children, I dare not say get mad at my wife. I will be in trouble. When I get mad at my children, sometimes I have to go into the living room and pray and just quiet for a while. Because otherwise, I know some bad word going to come out from my mouth. And it's destructive. Moses did not have a self-control at that time. He just says something. And you know what he say? This is wrong. He say, we give water to you. You remember I read a while ago? This is what he say. Listen, you rebel. Must we bring you water out of this rock? What the Bible tried to tell, the story tried to tell us is that Moses blew it. Instead of honoring the anointing, he honored himself. He said, I'm mad at you. You know, I am the one who get water for you. We are the one who get water for you. No. You may not know that every Sunday when I was standing there at that chair, at that area to worship God, in my spirit, I am trembling inside me. Because I know that by my own ability, by my own speech ability, I'm not a good speaker at all. I'm not some kind of speak well in front of public. I'm very shy, have a difficult time speaking in front of public. About 20 minutes ago, I was standing there. I feel like, God, I really have a hard time going up to preach today. I have to preach the language that I was not growing up with, English. I sometimes speak wrong words and wrong accent. Oh, so hard. What I try to say is, you are blessed in this church with the word, with everything in this church, not because of Pastor Lau. I am just a weak vessel. Without the anointing, without the Lord's help, I cannot do anything. I want to give glory to God. Every good thing that happened in this church is only from Him, not from me and Pastor Da. We are just a vessel. I want to honor Him. I cannot come up and say, you know, members, you're so good now because we do this for you. Not we, God. Amen. We need to give glory to God. Moses stole honor from God. We are the one. Give you water. Be careful. We need to give all the honor and glory to the Lord. God is serious about the issue of honor. He didn't want anyone to take honor from him, steal honor from him. He did not want anyone to really despise his glory and anointing and honor. We need to honor the anointing. We need to honor the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't do like Moses. He missed it. He blew it. And what happened? He did not enter the promised land. What a big punishment. It's so sad story. He did everything good. One time he blew it. Done. He didn't see the promised land. He didn't step into the promised land. Are you learning something today? You learning something today? How many people promise God that from now on, you will not use your human ability to reproduce something that God is not doing it? Not from human reproduction. How many people promise God that you're going to give Him all the honor and glory, not to yourself? How many people promise God that you're going to control your emotion? If you get mad, just don't say any word. Just walk away for a while. Amen? Amen. Obey the Lord. Everyone say trust. Obey. And show the holiness of God. Obey the Lord. Amen? The Bible says in the book of Psalms, say, Moses knew the way of the Lord. But the children of Israel know his acts. I want to say that all of our members here are so close to the Holy Spirit, know the Word of God, and every day you are led by the Spirit. You honor the Spirit, and you know the way of God. What to say, what to do, and sometimes He tells you what to do that is not ordinary. Like the way the human is doing. Are you willing to obey Him? to do something extraordinary or something unusual in the eyes of people. Amen. The Lord told me on Friday night that we should separate people out to pray. I obey Him. Usually when we have prayer meeting, we just all the whole thing pray together. But on Friday night, I obey God. I say, let's separate into small group and pray. And when I see the outcome on Friday night, I was thinking about the book of Acts. Wow, this is like a book of Acts. People come to pray together and then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came down. It's wonderful. I told Dad that maybe we should have this on a regular basis. Every month we should have prayer meeting in a church and have the revival meeting, have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Gonna be fun. Amen. It's like in the book of Acts. We need to obey the Lord. What God gonna tell you what to do step by step. Amen. Hallelujah. How many people repent today? Say, God, I blew it in the past. Now I'm going to honor your presence. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I pray, Lord, that your people in this church will know their calling and anointing. They will not walk in the carnality, in the flesh, to reproduce something that you are not doing it. But they will be honest to the Holy Spirit. They will listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and do whatever the Spirit say only. They will not run ahead of you like a wild horse. They will not walk behind you and be rebellious or pull back like a donkey. But they will be like an eagle that will mount up his wings and flow with the Spirit of the living God. And they will obey the Lord and honor the presence of God all the days of their life, Father. Father, I pray that no one in this church will make a mistake like Nadab and Abihu. No one in this church, Lord, will make a mistake like Moses at that rock. Father, we will totally obey you and honor you and shine forth your holiness all the day of our life, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I don't know anyone in this room haven't been born again or know the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you know about Him. Maybe you have gone to church, but you never have a personal relationship with Jesus. The Lord Jesus said that not everyone who call me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only those who do the will of my Father. In other words, you need to have a personal relationship with God. I want to encourage you this morning. Two groups of people. One group, if you never pray and invite Jesus Christ into your heart, personally invite Jesus. I want to encourage you to invite Jesus into your heart today. Or another group of people who is not sure. They are not sure that you will make it to heaven. If you happen to die today, will you make it to heaven? You may say, Pastor Lau, you know, talk about death. I still have many days to go. Don't worry about it. I can make decision next Sunday or next week or next month. 10 days ago, a lady from another country sent her son to America for study. I don't want to say what country. She came here. Went out shopping on Saturday. Sunday, she showed up in the emergency room and I was on call. She had a big bleed in her brain. And I tried to operate. I took the clot out, but she didn't make it. She died that day. The husband had to fly from another land to see the body, the dead body. All the families were upset because she was okay that morning eating breakfast, but she died that night. Do we know that we have tonight? We don't know. No one can boast that we have tomorrow. Therefore, if you're not sure that you're going to make it to heaven, I want to encourage you. If you're not sure, you say, I have come to church for many weeks, but I'm not sure. Today, let's make sure you go to heaven for sure. If you are these two group of people, that you want to restore relationship with God, you want to say, God, I want to make sure 100% I'm going to make it to heaven. I want to have a relationship with Christ. I repent of my sin. I'm going to shape up my life. I'm going to ask God to help me to walk in holiness. I'm not going to sin anymore. I'm not going to rebel against you anymore to make sure you go to heaven. I want to encourage you to do that today. Is anyone in this room, in these two categories, could you raise your hand up and say, God, I want to accept you today. Raise your hand up. If you're not sure that you're going to make it to heaven, or any one of you never accept Christ before public in front of people. I accept Christ in my own bedroom, but I never accept Christ in front of public. Raise your hand up. Say, God, today I want to do it in public. Raise your hand up. Anyone else? Thank you for raising your hand. Anyone else? You want to tell the world that I am a Christian? Raise your hand up. You all sure that you go to heaven? Hallelujah. I will lead you in prayer. Close your eyes. Father in heaven, follow my prayer. Father in heaven, today I want to proclaim and confess in front of these people, Lord, before your angels and before your throne, that I belong to you. I repent of my sin, and the Lord Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He was raised from the dead on the third day. Give me a new heart, a new spirit. I will serve you all the days of my life. I will be on fire for you, hungry for your word. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Give hands to those who make that decision. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much. Thank you.